Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Blow a trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Like blackness, there is spread upon the mountains a great and powerful people. Their like has never been before, nor will be again after them, through the years of all generations. Fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, but behind them a desolate wilderness, and nothing escapes them. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses, and like war horses they run. As with the rumbling of chariots, they leap on the tops of the mountains, like the crackling of a flame of fire devouring the stubble, like a powerful army drawn up for battle. Before them, peoples are in anguish. All faces grow pale. Like warriors they charge, like soldiers they scale the wall. They march each on his way. They do not swerve from their paths. They do not jostle one another. Each marches in his path. They burst through the weapons and are not halted. They leap upon the city. They run upon the walls. They climb up into the houses. They enter through the windows like a thief. The earth quakes before them. The heavens tremble. The sun and the moon are darkened, and the stars withdraw their shining. The Lord utters his voice before his army, for his camp is exceedingly great. He who executes his word is powerful, for the day of the Lord is great and very awesome. Who can endure it? Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit.
Into your
Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I wonder if the first two-thirds or so of the reading from Joel might somehow have inspired authors or movie directors. The depiction you see is something that might appear in a horror movie or some sort of apocalyptic tale. A land being swallowed up by invaders so numerous that they block out the sun and inexorably overrun everything. The description Joel provides reminds me of televised video of the tsunami in Japan in 2011. He describes an unstoppable wave of creatures. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, he writes. But behind them, a desolate wilderness, and nothing escapes them. Unlike a tsunami, though, in Joel's version, there is no deliverance by getting up onto higher ground. The overwhelming tide of predators doesn't slow down for mountains, or for valleys, for stout city walls, or the most secure of fortresses. At their coming, the sun and moon are darkened, the stars withdraw their shining, and the earth quakes. There's a bit of uncertainty with regard to what Joel is describing. In the first chapter of his prophecy, he speaks of locusts. In the second, the picture shifts to an invading army. The question is, which of these pictures is intended as a metaphor, and which is to be understood literally? For what it's worth, the Lutheran Study Bible takes the description of locusts as real and the picture of the army as a metaphor. On the other hand, Martin Luther writes, Joel calls the Assyrians cutting, swarming, hopping, and destroying locusts. Which is correct, I do not know. What's absolutely clear here, however, is what's behind this devastating invasion that obliterates everything in its path. Or perhaps I should say, who is behind it? At the beginning of the reading we heard, "Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness." What Joel goes on to describe is the day of the Lord, a day when the Lord will forcefully intervene in the course of human history, and, lest distracted by the disaster described, we might forget how he began, Joel concludes his description of doom and gloom on the day of the Lord, writing, "The Lord utters his voice before his army, for his camp is exceedingly great. He who executes his word is powerful, for the day of the Lord is great and very awesome. Who can endure it?" Clearly, the answer to this rhetorical question is no one. No one can stand before the Lord in his great and powerful army. As a matter of fact, he doesn't even need an army. As Isaiah recorded, with a mere breath from his lips, he can slay the wicked. And note that in this case, the wicked about whom he is speaking are his people, the sheep of his pasture. But as Ezekiel records, the Lord does not take any pleasure in the death of the wicked. His warning of death and destruction to come is not an irrevocable judgment. It is a solemn and forceful warning, which he follows up with an urgent and pleading call to repentance. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. There is yet a chance for you, he says. Your sins need not result in your punishment, in sorrow and suffering in the day of the Lord. If you turn again to me, he says, you will not die, but live. But play acting won't cut it. Fasting and weeping and mourning won't do you any good if your heart is as hard as stone. Your repentance and your turning to me has to start with your heart. Then, to be sure, it will flow out from there into your whole life. But it has to start in your heart. For I judge the thoughts and attitudes of the heart, the Lord says. So is there really hope? Yes. For as Joel records, the Lord is a God who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. That's why he sends his word to sinners, so that they don't receive the just rewards for their deeds, but rather can dwell with them in paradise. As good an example of this as can be found is in the third chapter of Jonah. When God saw what the people of Nineveh did, how they turned from their evil way, he relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. And the Lord's forgiveness doesn't only occur on a corporate basis, for whole cities or for whole peoples. St. Paul testifies, though I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, I received mercy, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost sinner, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. Return then to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And he relents over disaster. In Jesus Christ, he has saved you. You are his. Thank God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.